This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We have a lot to discuss here. It is time to bring on Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks, and he's going to answer all of your questions. If you want to call in, the number is 844-500-4242. Really quickly, though, I just wanted to add in one thing here. Wanda Sykes, who I know a lot of my listeners take their political advice from, everyone's always asking me, what do you think Wanda Sykes thinks of this issue? Well, when she was on with Stephen Colbert, who is still grappling with his own team's insurrection that occurred on June 16th, we're waiting for the commission on that. She complained about how the middle states, the red states, they get too much attention and how it should really be California and New York that run the country and that decide elections and decide what's best for all the rest of us because they know better. They're sophisticated. They're beautiful. They're rich. They're elitists. They know how to jump over human feces on the sidewalk like you wouldn't believe. They've been dodging syringes before most of us even expected to see them on our sidewalks. And that got me thinking. Picture this now. A White House made up of only politicians from New York and California. And I have some ideas. And I just want to run these by really quick. Before we go to Toby, you can still call in. It's 844-500-4242. So the president in this coastal White House is going to be Gavin Newsom, President Hairgel. I've always called him Governor Hairgel, but I think President Hairgel sounds better. The vice president, don't ask me why, Bill de Blasio. I think that he would be a really good border czar. He'd get to the roots of a lot of different problems, just like we've seen Kamala Harris do. Don't worry, Kamala Harris will have a job in this administration. Attorney General Kamala Harris to you. National Security Advisor Eric Swalwell. He'd keep us safe. Make sure that there's no spies operating in this country. He's very good at that. He can track down the spies.
Put those spy rumors to bed.
Treasury Secretary, someone I trust with money, Maxine Waters. She can connect the dots. Transportation Secretary, Eric Adams. He's always tweeting about how wonderful the subway is. And Energy Secretary, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Nobody has more energy than AOC.
Absolutely. She's an energy secretary and an Instagram secretary. She's covering all fronts. 844-500-4242. I'm going to keep working on this. I think this is a good idea. Toby, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Toby!
Oh!
Toby, come away!
That's a new addition. I like that. Thank you, Jared. Toby, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here, Grace.
All right, now, Toby, something I want to ask you on Friday when we did the remote was we were talking a lot about the Supreme Court's decision to strike down the concealed carry law in New York that was requiring people to come up with a proper a justification for why they wanted to utilize their Second Amendment right. And you had actually alerted me to something that Clarence Thomas wrote in this decision, and you said it really stuck with you, this idea that you can't treat the Second Amendment different than any of the other rights.
Correct. Yes, he wrote that the Second Amendment should be treated no differently than any other right. And what's interesting about that is the Murdoch versus Pennsylvania case. It's was 1943. It was 319 U.S. 105, and they said that a state, and this is the Supreme Court, a state may not impose a charge for the enjoyment of a right granted by the federal constitution. And this is going to be real interesting how this plays out. I don't know if anyone will challenge it, but it's an extremely logical argument, if you ask me, that when they say you can't charge a fee for somebody to exercise their First Amendment right or their Fourth Amendment right or their Fifth Amendment right, then you also can't charge a fee for them to exercise their Second Amendment right. And that's exactly the ruling that came out last week, was they have affirmed now that the Second Amendment is a individual constitutional right. And according to Murdoch versus Pennsylvania, a state may not impose a charge for the enjoyment of a right granted by the federal constitution. So I'm reading that word for word. And so I think that'll create a really interesting, I think the courts are going to be very busy for the next 10 years, because you got, you know, Catherine Hochul already working on trying to do the end around, which they're already implementing, adding 15 to 20 hours of training, including live fire practice. They want to do this Thursday when the state legislature reconvenes, and they're going to have this extraordinary session of Congress to work around the U.S. Supreme Court's decision last week. So they know they have to make changes, but now they want to saddle you with more regulation and more infringement than even before, basing it on, you know, we just can't have anyone who's legally enabled to exercise their Second Amendment right walking around the world with a gun. That would be outrageous, you know, without our stamp of approval. And I think the Supreme Court was very loud and clear that, no, you don't have the right to limit people and scrutinize it and get very selective on who you give a permit to and who you don't. If they're not a prohibited person, you must give them the permit. And I think they can't even charge a fee or issue a license for that right. But I'm no lawyer. So we'll see how that plays out.
And, you know, Toby, there's a lot of talk about these gun control packages and legislation they're trying to get through. And in a lot of these cases, there's arguments about whether these things would have stopped any of the mass shootings, the horrific mass shootings that we've seen. But today I read an article about an Amazon employee who had been bragging to his coworkers that he was going to go in and I don't know if he said he was going to go into the Amazon or what, but he threatened to shoot a lot of people, and he was arrested. And that's a case of someone saw something, someone said something, and law enforcement took action. And I don't think we see enough of that. We see a lot of these missed warning signs, and then the reaction is to blame the weapon and not the person who actually is committing these crimes.
Yeah, that's been the standard operating procedure for many years, and we don't do it with anything else. You know, when drunk drivers kill people on the road, we don't make it harder for sober people to buy cars. We only, you know, punish the person at fault. And but when it comes to guns, we treat it with a whole new a whole new level of logic. And really, it's illogical, but we try to, you know, just whip people up into an emotional frenzy. And that's been the SOP for decades now. And it's just the retread talking points. And, you know, if we could save one life, isn't it worth it? Just one life, isn't it worth it? Well, we could apply that standard to every other area of society, and it doesn't make sense. You know, if we could save one life, if we eliminate backyard swimming pools, you know, and would eliminate all the kids that drown in them every year. We could save one life if we eliminate cars on the road, because thousands of people die on America's roadways every year. So we don't apply that same standard except to guns and by people who don't value the Constitution and the right to keep and bear arms. And make no mistake, these people aren't even anti-gun. They are just in favor of centralized power and guns only in the hands of government, which frankly scares the heck out of me, because I don't think government could be trusted with that level of power. I've seen the results of that. Look at, you know, Germany, look at Cambodia, there's so many recent history, you know, in recent history, like last century, very last 50, 60 years of governments abusing this type of power, when it's centralized in their hands and the people are disarmed. So it's usually doesn't end well for the people when government is the only one who has that level of power.
Yes, let's go to the calls here. I'm speaking with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Zebra, you're up first today on 2A Tuesdays. Go ahead, Zebra.
Yeah, listen, like they say, you vote yourself into communism and socialism, but you got to fight your way out. You can ask the Venezuelans about that. They're still eating their pets because they can't get out of it because they don't have a Second Amendment right. But Toby, I wanted to ask you, given this recent ruling regarding the Second Amendment and you cannot deny somebody right, do you think this gives any grounds to using a constructive denial of that right when the administration buys up all ammo, refuses to sell ammo, puts these roadblocks in front of people, and if they make them economic, isn't it? Do they have any standings now to say, hey, you're constructively denying me my Second Amendment rights? And with this court, it seems like it might stand up for the citizen for that.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, we're on a thousand-front war here as people who are hostile to our rights. They will pull out all the stops, and they'll, you know, you've heard of mayors and governors saying, we're going to put 1,000% tax on assault weapons. So a gun that will cost $1,000 is now, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. And that's somewhat one of the ways they want to do this. I think it comes down to taxation without representation, and there's a, you know, harbor close by that was full of tea once upon a time. But until we start rising up like that, they will continue to pull out all the stops. And this is actually the argument that was made in court, in federal court, when they closed all the gun shops down during the pandemic. My gun shop was early on part of the lawsuit that sued the governor and the AG's office and the local chief of police that shut down all these gun shops. And they were trying to make the argument that they haven't imposed on anyone's right to keep and bear arms because you can still do private transfers. So they were actually using the gun show loophole, quote unquote, as their argument for how they're not infringing upon your rights. And the fact that all gun shops were closed down and you couldn't buy ammo, they said, oh, but you can go to Walmart, which is still open. And at the time, there was one Walmart in Western Mass that actually sold ammo still. And they're pointing to that saying, see, we're not infringing on your rights. But I think you bring up a good point, Zebra, that is exactly what they're doing. And this state has a rich history of doing that through the Consumer Protection Act and this whole approved firearms roster and the Attorney General's regulations. They keep imposing hurdles to jump through in order to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. And I think this decision has really paved the way for all of this to go away because of those words Clarence Thomas used in his majority opinion, that you can't treat the Second Amendment any different than any other right. And so if you're imposing unlawful taxes, if you're, you know, restricting the flow of protected commerce, then you are treating those rights differently. And frankly, I think they should all be struck down. It goes to show how all gun control is an infringement on the Second Amendment. And states like this and states like New York and California, their heads are exploding right now because they've been working on drafts on how to get around this and how to continue to impose on your rights. And until we vote them out, you know, it's going to be more of the same in standard operating procedure. But I think the court systems are going to be jammed up for the next 10 years, 15 years, until all this stuff comes out in the wash.
We're speaking with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. If you want to call in, you still have plenty of time. It's 844-500-4242. We will be right back with more of your questions. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm very excited to be joined by Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Tobe, we got some people on the line who want to ask you a few questions. Let's start with Roy. Roy, your next stop. Go ahead, Roy.
Hey, how you doing today, folks?
I'm good. What's going on?
I just want to... Well, Tobe just touched on something really that goes to the heart of the Second Amendment is the government is the only ones that have guns. The forefathers, when they thought about that, it was really the bottom line is to protect us from the tyranny of the government. And I think that's why Joe Biden is afraid of it. It's because he can't just come right out and change laws on his own without, you know, the power of the people as well. So I just wanted to make that statement.
Yeah, and I think Roy and Tobe, I'll let you comment on this. I also don't think it does Joe Biden any favors that the other people in his party act like he can do that. They tend to go out there and make it seem to their base like Joe Biden has the ability to just override the Constitution whenever he wants to, and that's not how it works.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And one thing that's interesting along the lines of what Roy just pointed out is it actually says in the Second Amendment that a well-regulated militia also. And the interesting thing about that is no government would say, like, yeah, go ahead and form yourself a militia that could then challenge government. In other words, government can't form a militia. It's the people who form the militia, and they're the ones who challenge the power and authority of the government. Like, the only people who, you know, it would be crazy for government to do that, but the reason they did it was to keep from happening what we're seeing exactly unfold in front of our eyes right now, which is all the restrictions that have been put upon the people, even though it says shall not be infringed, and all the hoops that they're making us jump through, even though it says shall not be infringed. And so, yes, this was a major victory and a win back of our rights. And it has also been deemed an individual right, because a lot of times people said, oh, well, that's just talking about the militia, meaning like people who are in the National Reserves or whatever, but that's not what it means. It means the people have the individual right. So I think it's great that, you know, the court has finally taken this issue head on and esteemed it as an individual right, or re-recognize that it is an individual right.
All right, we have one more question before we go to break here. And by the way, the number is 844-500-4242. Rob, go ahead, ask Tobe your question.
Hi, Tobe. I have a restricted license for hunting and target only. So I guess my question is, how is it that once the decision came down, I'm not allowed to carry yet?
What I would do is I would go and talk to your local PD about how they want to treat that. I'm not sure how the state is going to treat this right away. I haven't heard of anything, but there's no, in my opinion, no way for them to restrict you as a non-prohibited person from being able to keep and bear arms outside the home, in the public space, and wherever it is you go for ordinary protection, as this ruling so eloquently puts out. So they, I don't believe, have any leg to stand on as far as, you know, continuing to restrict your rights to keep and bear arms to target and hunting only. I think all those restrictions are now going to go away, and I don't see how they can do it. It does say that they can continue to restrict you from sensitive locations, so maybe an airport and a school, or, you know, if somebody wants to create their own gun-free zone, and, you know, federal buildings, etc. So, yeah, I would go see your chief and say, how do you want to deal with this?
All right, Tobe Leary's coming up. We have one more segment, so call in. It's 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with 2A Tuesdays. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining me. We've got Tobe Leary on the line. If you want to call in, it's 844-500-4242. Let's go to Scott. You're next up with Tobe. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Tobe. I want to ask you, when you guys were talking about adding tax they want to add tax to bullets and all that. What about the tax on the tax stamps we've got to pay to have a silencer? What's the deal with that?
It's a great question, and the NFA tax stamp for silencers, short-barreled rifles, machine guns, any of the items that are on the NFA registry, they charge a $200 tax. And if you think about when this was implemented in the 30s, I believe it was, that $200 was pretty much like equivalent to $7,000 or $8,000 of today's money. So if that isn't a unlawful tax added to, the legal commerce and constitutionally protected right to keep and bear arms, I don't know what is. And so I would love, there's been a lot of people who have recently been pushing to abolish the NFA. It seems to have become it's obviously arcane and it should be abolished as far as I'm concerned. All it does is tax and prohibit and further restrict law-abiding and responsible gun owners from continuing to practice their Second Amendment rights protected under the Constitution. So I would love to see all these unlawful acts or unconstitutional acts be rescinded and go away and be challenged in court. And I think it takes time, but unfortunately, oftentimes takes decades. Look at this New York State Pistol and Rifle Association ruling that just came down. They originally implemented this type of suitability clause back in like 1905. So it's been well over 100 years of infringement upon people's right to keep and bear arms that has finally been made right by this session of the Supreme Court. So it takes a long time, but I would love to see all the infringements go away and people be allowed to exercise their rights just as they do every other right that is on the books and not be treated as a second-class right.
Good answer, Toby. Thanks for the call, Scott. Let's go to Rob. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, good morning or afternoon, I guess. Toby, my question is pretty easy. I'm wondering if you're going to anticipate seeing guns more in the workplace, like the greeter at Walmart. Are they going to be able to start, carrying their sidearm? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I do believe that a lot of people do currently carry guns in the workplace, and it is a right that, has been reinforced here in this decision. And I believe that you look at Rhode Island, who passed gun control legislation 2 days before the Supreme Court ruling came out, and it seems to be the shortest ever, in my opinion, situation where a law that was passed has been basically ruled unconstitutional 2 days later by the Supreme Court, because they passed a law which prohibits people from carrying certain guns in the public space loaded. And the law, brings a lot of clarity to that situation, or the ruling brings clarity to that situation. So the right to keep and bear arms, I think, will be expanded in a lot of these restrictive states. And I think it would be a great thing to see more responsible people armed and, more people who want to exercise their right to keep and bear arms and be able to protect themselves and others from evil. It'll certainly make society a much safer place. And I hope that would be the natural result of that. And, because there's a lot of people who don't bother going through the process because it is so burdensome. And maybe they won't have to do that now, so time will tell. And I think it will result in a lot more people carrying in the workplace. So one can only hope, Rob, and I think it'll make us all safer in the long run if they do.
Thanks for the call, Rob. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Biden will comment on immigration by the end of the day?
He was asked a question about the 50 migrants who died in the tractor trailer that was in Texas. It was 102 degrees, and the responding people on the scene said that those victims were hot to the touch. They were overheated, dehydrated, just a horrific situation. And he was asked about it, and he walked away. He didn't have time to answer it. I wonder, he probably would have answered a question if it were about his July 4th plans or, you know, a new family pet. But when asked about the largest or the worst smuggling situation in the United States ever on record, he has, the cat has his tongue. He has no answer. So I said no, Jared. I think I was proven right, but what are the results?
94% of the audience says no, he will not address this.
Toby, this week, and we still have time for callers, 844-500-4242. This week, Toby, abortion was all over the news. We talked to you a little bit about this ruling on Friday. We were at Cape Gunworks when this news broke, and it's really taken up a lot of the headlines. And something I've noticed as far as infographics go, as far as kind of catchy slogans or ways that the liberal media tries to get people in this argument, it's a lot of like gotcha logic, is this recurring idea of if only my uterus were a gun, it would have more rights, or, you know, guns in America have more rights than women. How do you respond to this? Because I've been seeing it in a lot of different places.
Yeah, well, I saw a tweet that actually someone said, you know, it's sad that guns have more rights than women and black people. And I actually commented and said, really, that's quite interesting, because I didn't know women were required to go through a background check in order to, you know, go about their lives, and black people have to be subjected to special licensing and pay a fee to get such licensing and be subject to background checks, and then have to call neighboring states to make sure that they don't violate the law by crossing state lines and make sure that they are able to go to those states in the first place without some sort of special licensing requirements. So, you know, it's a ridiculous argument to compare anything like that, like women's rights or minority rights or, you know, gay rights or whatever to guns. It's like, you know, it is the apples and orange subject matter on full display. But I think it's also very hypocritical, because gun control certainly affects minorities and women and people who need guns in a lot of cases more than anyone. And you can see, I think it was out in California, there was a LA Times article that says, are we ready for more black people to be carrying guns? And if the headline of the article isn't racist in and of itself, it drips with the history of gun control, which is rooted in racism. If you look back at the history of gun control, it is actually to keep freed slaves from keeping guns and owning guns in a lot of areas. And I think that nothing could be more racist than gun control. If you look at some of the most gun-controlled areas in some of the, you know, some urban areas which have high minority concentrations, and they restrict the good people of those areas who live in very violent societies from their ability to go and arm themselves for personal protection, to protect themselves and their families in these hostile areas, nothing could be more racist, in my opinion, than gun control. And I think that it is so wonderful to see this well-rounded, well-represented body of Supreme Court justices, and they're not able to pound on the desk that nine angry old white men, you know, forced this law down our throat or changed this law or whatever. No, the man who wrote the majority opinion, Clarence Thomas, is a black man, and it's wonderful to see how he wrote that there's equal protection under the law. And it's, you know, it was a symphony orchestra to people who are on the right side of history and the right to keep and bear arms when you read this opinion, and it just brings so much clarity, and you know, we're really excited about it and where it all goes from here. So but that's how I answer them, is I say, you know, I didn't realize that certain classes of people or demographics of people are subject to background checks and special licensing and paying fees to exist, and you know, et cetera, because the argument is ridiculous.
It certainly is. Mike, you're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Toby, I got two questions for you. One is, I've had a mass license for a long time, 20, 30 years, but I let my New Hampshire license expire. I always got a non-resident license to go to New Hampshire. Do I have to get one of those now, or am I okay using my Massachusetts license?
Yeah, New Hampshire a few years ago passed constitutional carry, so now Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont are all constitutional carry states. So as long as you're not prohibited in your own state, you can carry a gun concealed in all three of those states. You don't need a special permit or license to carry in those states anymore. The only advantage to getting the non-resident New Hampshire licenses, there are some states that have reciprocity agreements with them, and that might be, if it's one of the states you visit, it might make sense to continue to get the non-resident license to carry in New Hampshire, but you do not need it to carry a gun in that state.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Toby, there was one other story I wanted to ask for your opinion on. This was from the Wall Street Journal opinion pages. And the title of it is More Illegal Guns Reduce Crime in Brazil. The president of Brazil decided that he really thought that if you give guns to good people, this is a quote, he said, give guns to good people, let people have guns so that they have the chance to defend themselves. And they made purchasing firearms cheaper and they made getting permits easier and homicide fell by 34%. What's your reaction to that?
Yep, it's proven science. More guns equal less crime. And there's a book with that title by John Lott, and I think he's up to his third or fourth iteration, and it's basically a treatise of that exact subject, which is when you allow good, responsible people to be armed and carry guns concealed for personal protection, violent crime goes down. It works every time it's tried, and when you restrict good people from being able to keep and bear arms, violent crime goes up because criminals are, they want unarmed people to prey upon. That's the way it is. And Brazil is a perfect case study of that situation. You can also look at, Plano, Texas, which is the gun capital of the country, if you will. Every man, woman, and child, there's enough guns in Plano for each one of them to own, I think it's 9 guns per each. And it has one of the lowest violent crime rates in the country. So the mere presence of guns does not make anyone less safe. It, in fact, lowers the violent crime rate. And we talked about that last week about Kennesaw, Georgia. You can look at them. You can look at, a lot of the states around the country that have no gun control whatsoever, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, where states like that. Vermont does have some gun control now, but for a while they were the flagship. They were the first constitutional carry state in the country. They had one of the lowest violent crime rates in the country.
Toby Leary, we thank you so much for coming on with us every Tuesday. Tell people where they can find you and where they can stop by if they want to visit Cape Gunworks.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on, Grace. Love to see everybody down at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. If you're traveling or you're coming here for vacation, make sure you stop in and say hi. We'd love to see you. You can take a tour of the facility. You can take a class or go shoot out on our range, do a range experience package or a try before you buy. You can also visit us online at capegunworks.com, and you can sign up for any class or listen to our radio show right there on our website called Rapid Fire Radio, and we air every Wednesday at 4, and we also air on various radio stations on the weekends. So make sure you follow us on all social media as well. Our handle is at Cape Gunworks, except for Instagram, because we got Zuckerberg, and it's now CGW_backup on Instagram.
It happens to the best of us, Toby. Don't take it to heart. 844-500-4242. Toby Leary, thank you so much. We will be back with Howie Carr. But before we go, I want to give away the $50 gas money winner. If you want to sign up for this, you can win $50 on my show or on Howie's show. All you have to do is go to gracecurlyshow.com, enter your email. It's totally free. You could win $50 worth of gas money. And unlike in California, where they're giving out these rebates, we're giving you the gas money. You're not sending yourself $50 in the mail. We are giving this as a little prize, as a little pick-me-up. So the winner today is Sarah from Meredith, New Hampshire. Congratulations, Sarah.
You won! You did it!
Keep an eye out from store@HowieCarshow.com for an email with instructions. We will be right back with the captain. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
Yeah.
She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Today's Car Crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Howie Carr will be with us shortly. He's probably doing a TV hit. He's such a big shot. But we have breaking news for you. Ghislaine Maxwell sentenced to 20 years in prison. The jet-setting socialite was sentenced to 20 years in prison Tuesday for helping the wealthy Jeffrey Epstein sexually abuse underage girls. So, Jared, you said she'll be 80 years old when she gets out of prison?
Yes. In 20 years, she will be 80 years old.
Wow.
I'll put that caveat.
And you know what? It's interesting because, oh, hello, Howie. Look at you. Maybe you should go no tie like Joe Biden did at the G7. The casual look.
I don't think Newsmax would like that.
It's hip. It's cool. Yeah, so this is breaking news. How are you surprised by this, 20 years?
That's a lot. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess I am kind of surprised.
You know who's not going to be happy about this? The January 6th people, because this is running all over their breaking news.
I'll turn the TVs back on for you. All over their breaking hearsay?
I shut the TVs off earlier. I couldn't take it anymore, all this nonsense. But I'll turn them back on for you.
I was just pretending to be a lawyer, you know, and it was a criminal trial. And I was just saying all the objections I would have to all this stuff that was going on.
Oh, you wouldn't even be able to sit down.
Yeah, I'd just be standing up. Objection, Your Honor.
Howie, what do you got planned for the show today?
Oh, well, I guess we'll be talking about this. And I think we may do fireworks, great fireworks memories, since the state police now have solved all the problems in Massachusetts with fentanyl and everything else. So they're going to crack down on fireworks yet again.
Well, they have so much time on their hands.
Right. And the New Hampshire State Police, by the way, have issued statements about how to, you know, what you should and shouldn't do with, you know, with fireworks. Like, you know, put down your alcoholic beverage before you light the fireworks. Try to make sure your cigarette is long if you're going to light the firework off your smoke.
It's got
you know, those aren't really their instructions. Those are my personal instructions.
Just use one of those extenders like they used to do in the old films.
It's got
to
be like popping a champagne bottle, though. You know, you want to set the firework so it's not going towards anyone.
Don't throw a cherry bomb into a small pond if there are fish in there.
Howie, what's your favorite?
Even if you're hungry.
What's your favorite kind of firework?
I'm not a real big fireworks guy.
You don't
honestly.
Even have a favorite? Do you want to know mine?
What is?
The Weeping Willow. I like when the fireworks.
You're talking about big fireworks. I thought you were talking about the ones you hold in your hands like sparklers, which can always burn your wrist.
I only
you
care know, about the big
You wake up
stuff.
On June 5th and there are all these burns on your hand.
All
back
right,
of your
Howie
hand.
Carr and fireworks coming up next.